All right, so we are tonight going to start in our text, and then we're going, because we've seen it, and we're going to depart from it and continue on in a kind of a sequel to something we did this morning, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We talked about that at great length this morning, and so we're not going to re-preach that. We told you that the Bible tells you to watch out for philosophy, that's man's wisdom, which is opposed to God's wisdom, vain deceit, which is an outright attempt to deceive against the truth, the tradition of men, which is to make the Word of God of none effect, and the rudiments of the world, which are the fundamental elements of the world system, which is absolutely opposed to God. And so tonight what we're going to do is we're going to look at where you find these four things and then what to do about it. Now, the message that we have tonight is very informative, okay? And it's very full. Like this morning was. There was a lot of stuff that was hard for me to do because there was so much that could be said and had to be condensed down. There's a lot to be said about this, but the Bible has a lot to say about where you're going to find these things, and what we need to do tonight is really concentrate as much as possible on being able to see what the Bible says so that the Word of God will teach us. Now, there won't be a man up here just saying, "Hey, my God, you don't need to be doing those things." When you get into that, you know, I've noticed over the years that some of the greatest fodder, some of the greatest field for false religions are people that were trained in Baptist churches. Because a lot of them were told what to believe, but never saw in the Bible why they were to believe that, and so when somebody else showed them from the Bible something that was contrary to the belief, they went, "Wow, that's different. I didn't know that." And next thing you know, they've gone off to a false doctrine. So we don't want to be guilty of that. In order to avoid being guilty of that, we can't just get up here and rant, rave, and say, "Bless God, when you face one of these, don't do that." You have to look and see what the Bible says. That takes a little longer, and it also takes a little more concentration. Okay? If we get overloaded, what we'll do is we'll just have to stop and pick it up another day. Try not to get overloaded as much as possible, so let's get right into it. Where are you going to find philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, and rudiments of the world? First of all, you're going to find those things in Bibles. You say, "That's not possible." Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I want you to compare two scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. And I want you to also turn to 1 Thessalonians 2.13, 2 Corinthians 2.17, 1 Thessalonians 2.13. And you're going to see a drastic contrast here in the handling of the Word of God between two completely different groups of people. And both of these are going to profess that what they have is the Word of God. All right, 2 Corinthians 2.17 on the one hand, 1 Thessalonians 2.13 on the other hand. 2 Corinthians 2.17. "For we," that's Paul speaking, "are not as many," that's a lot of other people, "which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Listen, he put himself under the highest authority possible and said, I don't care whether you believe what I'm saying or not. I am saying in the sight of God Almighty, I'm telling you, we speak in Christ. And he said, "I say that knowing I'm going to have to give account for what I'm saying. But there are many besides me who are corrupting the Word of God." Now, when we talk about the work in modern Bibles and the warnings that we give about that, we're not going to go through a treatise on everything that happens in modern Bibles. I'm going to tell you, they attack the deity of Christ. They attack the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. They downplay eternal matters like the judgment seat of Christ, and they promote ecumenism. You say, "What is that?" Everybody get together and let's just love in, hug, have a good time, try to see what we can do for God together without God. I've heard a lot of things like that. They're very cleverly worded. I heard a fellow the other day give a very interesting thing to a large group of people. He said, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, just pray this: Jesus, if you are real, please reveal yourself to me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's really good. You know, it really is. I did, when Rena, the little Japanese girl that lived with us as an exchange student, lived with us, and she had gotten somewhat confused and also exposed to the preaching of the Word of God, I said, every night before you go to bed, get your Bible and just pray this prayer: Jesus, if you're real, reveal yourself to me that I may know you. And so she read her Bible every night. And she came to the services. For 2 months this went on. One day she's sitting in the kitchen crying after the Sunday evening service. I said, what's the matter? She said, I'm on my way to hell. I said, how'd you ever figure that out? She said, Jesus showed me. I said, did you pray that prayer? Yes, she said, I did. Did you read your Bible every day? I really did. What did you find out? Jesus is real and he revealed himself to me, and the only way I'm going to get out of hell is get saved. So she did, and then she was a Rotary exchange student. She stood before the 120 Rotarians in Beeville, and they asked her, what about your experiences in the United States of America? She said, I thank God for bringing me to this country, because this is where I found Jesus Christ. Now, that's quite a testimony for a high school girl. All right, so but I'm going to tell you, when he said that, he left something out. He said, Jesus, if you're real, reveal yourself to me, but he didn't say, in the Word of God. And I know something in Matthew chapter 24, there are going to be many that profess to be Christ, and many are going to follow them. What he did is he took away, in the spirit of ecumenism, because there were lots of different religions represented there, and just said, see if you can find him out there somewhere. You see what happened? All right, so Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God. Now watch him preach to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said this: for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received, what? The Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, what? The Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Basically, what you have then is you have corrupted words of God, which are called Bibles. Those are man's words and man's statements about God's words. And then you have God's words. That's what you've got. And so what happens is when you get into some modern Bibles, you're finding some vain deceit. There are actually words, twisted verses taken out, teaching baptismal regeneration and a variety of other things. There are traditions of men in there. You read, I noticed this when I was doing a thesis for my master's. In the NIV, I noticed that where there were verses that contributed to the doctrines of Calvinism, which basically say God already decided before you were ever made whether you're going to go to heaven or hell, wherever they contributed to Calvinism, they made a change in there to promote that doctrine. You know what that is? Vain deceit. And the tradition of men. Even the rudiments of the world are in there. Why? They're copyrighted so the men that publish them can make money off of your purchases. That's what's going on there. So you got to be careful when you say, I'm going to go to the Bible and read that thing. I believe this, so you don't misunderstand. When a person comes looking for the truth in the Word of God, and they don't know any better, and they pick up something that's in the way of a modern Bible, I believe this. I believe the Lord hides their eyes from the things that are wrong in there and shows them the things that agree with the Word of God so they can find Jesus Christ and learn and begin to grow. But at some point in time, along the way, they are going to be introduced to the truth of God's words. And many like you are going to say, you know what, that's right. And they're going to pick it up. So I don't think it's absolutely exclusive that God doesn't work in that. I know that He does. And I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is people that continue to put that stuff out to compete with God's words in order to think they're doing you a favor. That's a problem. So you've got to be careful with that. Okay? So where else are you going to find these philosophies and vain deceits and traditions of men and rudiments of the world? Not only are you going to find them in Bibles, you're going to find them in churches. You really are. Now, let's look at a couple of other comparisons here. We'll go to one. I'll tell you about the other one. Do you remember in Numbers chapter 16, these three guys named Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? Remember those guys? There was actually another son of Reuben in there named On. He figured the 11, and he got away from the trouble before it ever came down raining on his head. But when you read in Numbers chapter 16 about Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who set up their own congregation, set up their own worship with their brazen censers, and set up their own following, they had a tabernacle called the Tabernacle of Korah. And that was set up in competition with the tabernacle that Moses had set up that was given to him as a pattern by God. All right? And so you have Moses and Aaron and God's blessings upon that tabernacle that was set up and what was called the congregation of the Lord or the tabernacle of congregation. And then you have over here the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Got two different deals going on there. One of these is right, one of these is wrong. Which one was right? The tabernacle of God that was given to them by Moses and Aaron. The one that was wrong, it was obvious it was wrong. Moses said, if these guys die a natural death, okay. Even Stephen. But if something strange happens and they get swallowed up by the earth alive, you're going to know these guys were not telling you the truth. And boom, boy, swallowed up alive, and the guys with the 250 censers, boom, torched by the Lord. You knew that was going to turn out that way. That's what happened to Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, when they offered strange fire. Moses, this was a cinch. He knew how this deal was going to turn out before he ever got started. But those are two different congregations. And one of them was so bad, God destroyed it. Now let's go over here to 2 Kings chapter 10 and notice what was going on during that reign of Ahab. Ahab, the Arab. King of the burning sand. Well, actually, he was king of Israel, but it's close enough. Ahab the Jew. All right, so he has this thing going on over here in 2 Kings chapter 10. And then what happens is that a man named Jehu comes up. And I mean, boy, you talk about a zealous man. This guy would have been a great Marine general, boy. It's a Navy SEAL right here. He is killing everything that doesn't belong. All right, so in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 18, Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. That was a ploy. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal and all his servants and all his priests. Let none be wanting, for I have great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live. But Jehu did it subtly, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not, and they came into, what are the next four words? The house of Baal. And the house of Baal was full from one end to another. Now he gets all dressed up like he's going to have a worship. He sets his soldiers around on the outside. He said, anybody here not a Baal worshiper? If you're not a true Baal worshiper, get out. He's just trying to protect their lives. Everybody that stayed, he told his soldiers, come in, kill them all, and then break down the house. Now what you had there was the house of Baal. And what you have on the other side is the house of the Lord called the temple, all right, that Solomon had built. Two different things going on. Both similar to churches. Do you understand? What happens now in churches today are things that we were warned about in 2 Peter chapter 2, in the book of Jude, and also in the book of Revelation. You can use your concordance and find the references. I'm going to spare you some page turning. Listen carefully. Balaam. Remember that guy? Let me tell you, there are three chapters, actually four, 22, 23, 24, 25, dedicated to the work of Balaam in the Old Testament. That's a lot of ink on what he did. That should tell you something. God's telling us something in the Old Testament. We ought to be looking to see if there's anything in the New Testament about it. There is. He had a doctrine, he had a way, and he had an error. And they're spoken of in 2 Peter chapter 2, and Jude, and in Revelation chapter 2. And they're brought in there as warnings. You are warned against the doctrine of Balaam, the way of Balaam, and the error of Balaam. The error of Balaam was that he assumed God would curse the Jews. Do you know there are a lot of people today that say God is finished with Israel? And they teach all of their prophecy based on that assumption. You know what happens there? They lose their way in the Word of God. There are a lot of them who are in the way of Balaam. What was Balaam interested in? Personal honor and money. Let me ask you something. Do you know any preachers that are preaching today that have brought to themselves honor and personal gain through preaching the Word of God? Oh, man, you can almost name more of them than you can who just do it because God called them to do it. There's a lot of them that do that. And then the doctrine of Balaam was he taught them fornication and sacrifice to idols so that God would mess up Israel. And we've told you before, and it's true, in a lot of megachurches today where you've got thousands of people, doctrine is gone. It's about the ushy-gushy and the uchi-guchi, and you get enough ushy-gushy and uchi-guchi in there, and you're going to have some fornication and sacrifice to idols going on. And it shows up in the clothing, and it shows up in the attitude, and it shows up right now outside the church walls, and won't be long, and probably going inside the church walls. What is that? What that is that Paul said, beware of philosophy, of vain deceit, of the tradition of men, and the rudiments of the world. That's the rudiments of the world that's going in there. And a lot of the tradition of men. I grew up in a religion that is nothing but the tradition of men. And some of you did too. And when I found the truth of God's Word, I found it in conflict with the tradition of men and had to make a choice. And I said, we're leaving. We're going where they preach the truth. And we left. Amen. Well, what happens is that a lot of people don't do that because there's a lot of family attached to that religion. And there is a lot of tradition attached to that, and there is a lot of superstition and fear. You know what's happened? That philosophy and vain deceit have crept in there, and they got a hold. Amen. You have to be careful where you go to church. Now, listen to me. Right now, and I knew that we would be this way because your parents are so faithful to bring your children. There are children all the way from little bitty. They can hardly understand what I'm saying because I'm using some vocabulary, tradition of men, rudiments of the world. What are those, Mommy? All the way up to some of you that are big enough to be making some of your own decisions and paying your own bills, amen, Mom and Dad. Now listen to me. You are going to make a decision about somebody that you're going to marry and they're not going to the kind of church you go to and you're going to think it's okay. And you know what? You are going to buy yourself a fistful of problems. Because you now have to pick of the place where your children are going to be raised and in the spirit of getting along. If you're a boy, your wife is going to have more pull about where you end up going to church than you do. Oh, you said that never happened to me. You start taking them back in there where they're learning these things, you have just corrupted the next generation. Okay? You find these things in Bibles. You find these things in churches. You've got to be careful. And I'm just saying, is Bible Believers Baptist Church and Corporate Church the only church? Of course not. God knows where you belong. Amen. And the kind of preaching you need to be under and the kind of pastor you need. Amen. But I'm telling you something. If you make decisions and don't consider what you're hearing now and the kind of church you're in, you don't realize what you're getting yourself into. Now, there are many of us who strayed over to a place like that and then found out what was really going on, and whoop, right back we got in line again. Thank God for that. Okay? Where are you going to find these things, these philosophies and vain deceits and traditions of men and rudiments of the world? You're going to find them in Bibles. You're going to find them in churches. I'll tell you where else you're going to find them. You're going to find them in school. You're going to find them in schools. And I don't just mean public schools. You're going to find these things in Bible colleges. We have a young man in Corpus Christi that's very familiar with this ministry. We know him. And he is debating right now whether to go into medicine or whether to go into the ministry. He's really, really weighing God's call on his life. And if he goes into the ministry, you know what his number one problem is? Where am I going to go to school? Because he said, I believe that this King James Bible is the Word of God, and I know that a lot of schools try to talk you out of your faith in that Word of God by the time you graduate. Amen. This big split that happened in the Southern Baptist Convention over the conservatism all started because the seminaries had strayed from the doctrines of the Bible, And it was not uncommon for men, young men, to get called to preach, believing in the virgin birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, His literal bodily resurrection, His literal return to this earth, and many other those kinds of doctrines. They went to seminaries, and half of them came out not believing in the virgin birth, not believing in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not believing in His physical return to this earth. Your Bible is absolutely hacked to death if you don't believe those things. And they got it in a school. Why? Because it was replaced with the tradition of men and philosophies and vain deceit, even rudiments of the world. Let's compare a couple of schools. We can do all this in the book of Acts, so you don't have to turn very far. Go to the book of Acts and look at two places, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. Okay, they're right there together. Look at Acts chapter 19. This is Paul. He's gone to Ephesus and he's been preaching up there. Got some guys straightened out early. Verse 8, he goes into a synagogue. He's preaching for 3 months. But in verse 9, when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of a dinosaur. Tyrannus Rex. No, of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Now, this must have been some kind of school. He goes down there for 2 years, preaches in that school, and all of Asia heard about Jesus Christ. They must have been doing some soul winning and some public ministry, and they were vocal about their beliefs. But he had 2 years in there and didn't have any more trouble like he did in that synagogue, right? All right, now look over here in Acts chapter 22. And here you're going to read about Paul giving his testimony, okay, in his own defense. Acts chapter 22, verse 3, I'm verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. That's his teacher. And taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are all this day. Well, that must have been some kind of school, because Paul tells us in Galatians that the law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And whatever kind of education Paul got in that school, it taught him to kill those who followed Christ. Something was wrong there. And what was wrong there is what Paul said. He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish what? Their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So they were teaching in that perfect law how to have your own righteousness apart from God. That's a perversion. That's a vain deceit. That's a tradition of men. You see it? So the school of Gamaliel was much different than the school of Tyrannus, where he could continue for 2 years and people were getting saved and a lot of great work was doing. Now, you know, many of us have sent our kids through the public schools, and many of you are associated in public school. So you know there are some basic things that you learn there that are profitable. It's a good thing to know grammar. It's a good thing to know how to read and write. It's a good thing to know how to spell. S-P-L. I don't know why they do all this, because they give them a phone and then they start texting you and they don't look like they know how to spell anything. That is gibberish. But nevertheless, they teach them that. Teach them. But all of a sudden, they have to also teach them some things like history. And it's funny how easily God has been removed from the history of this country, when the history of this country is nothing but God. Now, something's going on there when the school says God's not allowed in here. You can't mention Jesus Christ and some other things like that except under certain circumstances and so forth. Like, we're not going to teach any Bible. They're saying, look, we're going to replace the greatest history book on earth for what God really calls history, and the greatest science book on earth for the truth about real science, and the greatest book on ethics and all those other matters. We'll pull that out of there and try to teach you these things without this book and contrary to this book. You're going to have some problems. I have heard from some of your kids who have said to you and you've said to me, I almost quit believing the things that I had been hearing in church as a result of what I was being taught in school. Now, at the high school level, that's one thing, but I'm going to tell you what, when you get to college, buddy, that is a whole new ball game. And I've told you before and will remind you again, you've got to be careful about where your children go to school when they graduate from high school. As a matter of fact, I don't know what God's will is. God has given us some excellent facilities here. I don't know if God wants us to have Christian education here or not. If He does, He'll show us. And if He shows us, we'll do it by God's provision and God's will. We're not rushing into anything like we've never rushed into anything before. But the truth of the matter is we got to know where God is in this before we do anything. All right? But be that as it may, what are you going to do about college? You say, well, I want my child to be able to do such a... Well, what does God want your child to do? That's the first thing. All right? If your child needs a college education, or be all of our children are college educated. But I'm going to tell you, it ruined the first three. I'm not happy to say that. I don't know if they check the internet and listen to the messages that I preach here or not. They probably wouldn't be happy to hear me say that. When I say ruin the first three, do I love them? Absolutely. Are they very successful in the various careers they've chosen? Without a doubt. They really are. But do they believe what you believe about this book? Not anymore. You say, why not? Somebody talked them out of it. So you and I have to be very careful. Now, Lizzie tried what she was doing up there at Baylor, you know, and finally decided, I'd do better here at home. Dad, Mom, we're going to finish up here at school. With the college and career class that we have, thank God for what Randy and Maureen are doing in there. And with the constant support at home and the prayers of this church, things are in line spiritually in her life. And I have seen firsthand what I've told you before. You got to be careful where your children go to school. There is no need with the two colleges we have here. You got one down in Kingsville, which is drivable. You've got Corpus Christi A&M here. You got Del Mar. There's no reason for somebody to have to leave your house to go ahead and get an education. It's going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to cost you a lot of heartache. And it's going to cost you some spirituality in your child. You say, but they got a good church up there. They had good churches to every city we sent them. And they didn't go. You know why? Because there's a community there that says, oh, that stuff over there, that's prudish. You really want to go there? And to fit in with the crowd you're with now, you're going to change. Your children are going to change. That's just the way it is. You got to know that when they go into a school, that school, whether they sat down in September and say, we're going to talk these kids out of their Christian faith or not, they are going to really impair the growth of your children spiritually. It's just the way it is. They're going to experiment with things like drugs and sex and alcohol they have no business getting involved in. It's the way it is. And if that's what you want for your child, take it from experience. Send them off. But you got to know they're going to be inundated with philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, and the rudiments of the world. And that's very different than what you've been teaching them at home, and very different than what their Sunday school teachers have been teaching them here, and very different than what their pastor's been teaching them from this pulpit. It's tough, isn't it? But it's true. I don't say any of what I just said with delight. I say it with sincere warning. God said, beware of that stuff. And when you put them in that, you're not... That's like saying, put your foot in the lion's trap and just pray to God it doesn't slam foot on your foot. Shut on your foot. It's going to slam shut. Ooh. Where else are they going to find this? We can run down. I don't want to run down these too fast. We don't want to get ahead of what God wants you to learn out of this. Look at the next one. There's two places you need to look. Numbers 33, 2 Corinthians 10. Numbers 33. See, the Bible has all this stuff nailed down for you if you just know where to find it. Numbers 33, 2 Corinthians 10. Numbers 33, 2 Corinthians 10. Now, while you're turning... Numbers 33, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. While you're turning, why did God destroy this earth with a flood? Because, well, because the imagination of man's heart was only evil from his youth. That's why he destroyed it. It had turned completely to wickedness. After Noah got off the boat and sacrificed, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, he said, I'm not going to destroy this earth with a flood. Why? For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nothing changed. He's got four boys and four girls when they get off the boat, and he says, you know what? We've whittled it down. We're going to start over again, but the same thing's going to play out again that happened this time. That's why he said right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, things are going to be just like they were in the days of Noah. I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Okay. With that said, look at these two things. Number 33. Numbers 33. Look at verse 52. When the Jews went into the land of Canaan, the Lord gave this command in verse 51. Speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when you are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their, what's the next word? Pictures. And destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down all their high places. You know what's really happened with the current technology that we have in this world today? They've been able to take still shots and make a move. And we call those movies, which comes from moving pictures. And these things are rated so that you'll know what kind of wickedness is in there. Now, if your imagination is evil from your youth, and you take PG-13, a 14-year-old, and let them see the kind of stuff that's in a PG-13 movie, explicitly displayed in moving pictures, you know what you have just done? You have lit the imagination on fire and defiled them. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God has a remedy. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5, well, verse 4, for the context, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. Watch it. What strongholds are they going to attack? Casting down, what's the next word? Imaginations. You know what the root word of imagination is? Image. You know what's hooking people today? And I mean, I'm talking about your age kids that have electronic devices where they can connect to the internet at will, any place, without your supervision. Pornography. And they tell me, and I didn't even believe this, that girls have a worse time of it than boys do. I had no idea. The weapons of our warfare are mighty, or carnal, and are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many of you, older people, can tell me how hard it is for those thoughts to be brought into the captivity of Jesus Christ by showing your hands here? Get them up there. Get them up there. Now, you look, hey, just hang on. I've got mine up here, okay? Kids, just turn around. Just look. Just look all around. Look. Look. Well, that stuff gets in there, buddy. It is hard to get out. Even with the spiritual weapons of God Almighty, those imaginations are really hard to cast down and get under control. Amen. Amen. All right. So you say, you know what? It's Friday night. Oh, man. Oh, we've had such a hard week. I've been in school getting inundated with philosophy of vain deceit, traditions of men, the riddance of the world. Let's go get some more and watch 2 hours of a Hollywood movie that just got released. Batman! It's poison. It's nothing but philosophy and vain deceit, traditions of men, and the rudiments of the world. And you're going to put, listen, there is no way in the world we don't have the kind of sound system, we don't have the kind of video quality, we don't have any of that stuff. I can't stand up here as one man talking with my voice and do anything to stimulate the imagination that can compete with what Hollywood can do with their movies. Anything. People say, I don't like to go to church. It's boring. Well, no wonder. You don't have boom, bam, bam, boom, wah, boom, blood, guts, sex, wow, adultery, whoa. You go, whoa, that was good. Come on, let's go to church, huh? And listen to Dullsville? We don't have all that stuff. You got one guy that's almost 60 years old. And another guy that looks like he's 65. And a big outdoorsman with a beard. And a guy that you still have to, you know, it's almost like speaking in tongues from Alabama. We don't stand a chance, yet we're telling the truth. You say, I just don't know why my kids are turning out like they are. I do. They're plugged in to something feeding the wicked imagination they came with, and nothing can compete with that. That's why it's happening. That's where these things Paul said to beware of. You say, I'm going to pay $10 and buy a ticket to feed them junk food. And then I'm going to take them to church for a dollar and hope to God they turn out right. Why is my son interested in a floozy? Well, because that's he got attracted to that at the movie theater and on the internet. And we don't grow floozies around here. We grow Christian young ladies. Trying to, anyway. Trying to help you with that. I said, preacher, we don't like the way this is going. I knew you wouldn't, but is it not true? It's absolutely true. You know what's in there. You say, but I know we just need to be entertained. You know what? Rather than be entertained, learn to have joy in the abundant life of the Lord Jesus Christ by feeding on His words. All right, where else is this stuff? Oh, this message is so good. Look in Colossians 3 and Amos 6. You say, man, Amos, man, I had never even been there in my life. Where is that? That's in the Old Testament. You got Jeremiah, you got Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a big book. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. Amos 6 and Colossians 3. Colossians 3, we're going to look at that first. And then we're going to look at Amos 6. Named him after a man of the cloth, called him Amos Moses. Some of y'all remember that. Colossians chapter 3. Okay. Look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We've preached on this, taught on this, in all wisdom. What are the next three words? Look at it. It's the same with me, teaching and admonishing, right? One another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, what do hymns sung out of a hymn book do? They help me, it starts with a T. They teach you, and they starts with an A. Admonish you. All right, to admonish somebody is to warn them. They teach you and they admonish you. Many people have come to the altar in response to great preaching at an invitation hymn because they were taught in the hymn, I surrender all. And they did. See? Teaching and admonishing. But let me tell you something. Music is not neutral. The world's music also teaches and admonishes. But the wrong way. Okay, Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 6. These guys in Samaria were just going wicked, or as how did Joel Logan say it, wicked. Okay, they're you know they're doing bad. And in verse 5, he said, they chant to the sound of the viol, so they're singing, and invent to themselves instruments of music like David, counterfeit. Okay. And what's happened in the music in Amos chapter 6, verse 5, the devil is a musical being, and they are being taught something with that music you're not aware of. People say, but I like Christian rock music. There's no such thing. It's rock music. Yeah, but it has some Christian lyrics in it. Are you sure? I've looked at some of the lyrics, and you could as easily have that as a love song between a man and a woman as you could between a man and Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's more easily applied to the relationship between a man and a woman in a sensual way than it is between you and Jesus Christ. To the kind of music that, you know, bumps and grinds a little bit. So Job said what happens is, they send forth their little ones like a flock. Their children dance. They take the timbrel and the harp, rejoice at the sound of the organ. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have as we pray to him? And you wonder why they go. Let me tell you something. You better go take a look at your children's music library. That's the thing on the computer called iTunes that they've downloaded and put in their phone you don't know anything about. And you better find out what they're listening to. And you better study it. Because the words in there are teaching them things. Philosophies, vain deceits, the traditions of men, and the rudiments of the world. And that's where they're getting this. You say, where did you ever get an idea to do a thing like that? From the music. I'm kind of surprised about this. We've talked about it before. But the funny thing is, nothing changes. When God showed me something about music, you know what I did? I got rid of it. And then I picked up the right kind of music. Did I like it when I first started listening to it? No, honestly. Do I like it now? Yes. But I didn't like broccoli the first time I ate it either. Right, Doyle? Doyle hadn't grown up enough to like broccoli yet. He turns green at the very thought of it. But listen, that music's teaching them. The music is teaching them. And you said, man, I just don't know why this rebellion is welling up in the hearts of my children. I know why. Because the philosophies, the vain deceits, the traditions of the men, and the rudiments of the world are teaching them to rebel against God. Remember the underlying problem? They despise God and they reject the truth. Where else do you find this? We got to move. We want to finish this up. We can do it. This one, you need to turn to Acts chapter 17. We'll do it all from here. There's a companion verse. I'll have it in the notes. You can do it all from here. Acts chapter 17, verse 18. We were here this morning, but we didn't read down talk about what we're going to do right now. Just want to get this. Acts chapter 17, verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? That talking about Paul. Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods. The only true God. Because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear. Some knew. That's where you get the news thing. News. That's what they were interested in. What's the news? And the newer, let's go get that deal. Microphones and all. Let's record it, figure out what's going on here. All right, let's just put it straight forward. When you compare that passage of Scripture with Isaiah 43, God says, you know what? I don't care anything about your speculations. I don't care anything about your analysis. I don't care anything about your leaning, conservative or liberal. All I care about is, do you know what I'm doing down here? He said, now, if you can tell me not only what I'm doing, but what I'm going to do, now you'll be in track with me. And be assured of this, if you can tell what I'm going to do, I just want you to know for sure, you're not going to be able to stop it. Now, that's God. Listen, I'm not interested in something that already happened. When I was a kid and they were teaching me history in history class, I got bored to death with it. But my thought was, it's already happened. What can I do about it now? Since then, I've learned you got to know from history not to repeat the mistakes of history. So it is valuable. But what's more valuable than that is prophecy. correct prophecy about what God's doing, so that as history unfolds in front of your eyes, you'll say, that's right in line with what God's doing. Somebody said, did you know that there is a replacement currency going worldwide called the bit? I said, you know, I just heard about that. Wow, that's really interesting. Man, that's kind of scary. I said, not scary at all. That just means we're closer to punching out, man. All right, so I don't get worried about that. Now listen, am I saying don't stay informed? No. No, not saying that at all. I think it's appropriate to be informed, okay? But always in the light of what God says. Because the media is in the business of selling the news. No matter who you listen to. They'll play this deal, and then right here they'll get to the end of it. Some of the conservatives, so they'll say, all right, right after this break, we're going to be back and we're going to tell you XYZ. The break comes where they sell 3-4 advertisements, and those were all lies and hype. Okay? They say gold is the thing that is security against the future. No, Jesus Christ is the thing that's security against the future. All right, so we're going to get you all that stuff. They get all that done, they sell their product. Come back, and they don't tell you the story they told you they were going to tell you till after the next break to keep you hooked in so that you will listen to all the people that are paying to put that program on the air so they, who are the people who are doing the program, can get money. Rush Limbaugh was honest about it when he got into national broadcasting. He said, I'm in it for the money. You may not remember, he said that a long time ago. He still says it? Okay, well, I hadn't listened to him in a long time. It's really hard to listen to this. That's what consumes most of that broadcast. Now, well, how are we going to be informed? The Bible. No, but also, I know you want to keep informed. I'm not running down your gods in the media. Sort of. I'm telling you, they are selling news, and they are reporting what is enough to get the ratings up so you will listen to their station and they can sell more advertising to make more money. That's what they're in it for. Okay? And if it's to run down Obama with the conservative side, then that gets more listeners that way, and if it's to run up the liberal side over there, then they'll do that. And you know what it all is? It's philosophy and vain deceit. And the tradition of men and rudiments of the world. Because there's not a politician in the world right now that can solve the problems in America. We have a heart problem, not a political problem. Finally, you said, we got to the end of it. Yes, you did. Proverbs 13:20, the verse contains both sides of the argument. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 20. Where do these things come from? Philosophies, vain deceits, traditions of men, and rudiments of the world. You know where they come from? They come from your friends. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now, kids, some of you are getting ready to get out of school for the summer. And after a little while, some of you are going to be on the short break, 6 or 7 weeks, because you're in year-round schooling. Some of you are going to be on the long break, whatever it is, 2.5 months, whatever. And you're going to be out looking for friends. And I'll tell you, as you've heard before, the best friends that you could make now are the same ones that you go to church with. That's right. You say, well, I don't have any friends. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Be a good friend, and you'll have good friends. Here's the deal. In talking to Brother Patterson, talking to Brother Hoffmeister, talking to other people, they all say the same thing. Listen, it only takes one summer. It only takes one summer to destroy everything that was built into the foundation of your children's future. All they got to do is get hooked up with one friend that espouses philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, and rudiments of the world, and they will get exposed to something that will twitterpate their imagination and excite the lust of their flesh, and you may never get them back. There are kids right now who grew up in good families grew up in pretty good churches, grew up under Bible teaching and devotions at home, that one summer decided they were going to get a little methamphetamine, and their minds are gone now. And they will be gone forever. They're hooked and there is no return. You want to beware of these four things in Colossians 2:8, then beware of the friends your children hang out with. And ultimately, kids, the decision is yours about whether you're going to talk to this person on the phone and hook up with that little boy or that little girl over there who can drag you away from God. He said, beware. Let me ask you something. Does snakes scare you? If I had a rattlesnake right here, I'd just, whoo, like that. And that scare you? That didn't scare you. But I mean, you if you like jump down and there's a ditch right here and all of a sudden you heard, brrr, would you just stand there and go, oh, look, come here, cute snake, whoa. No, you'd be like, whoa, boy, you'd be flying out of there. Everybody in the that was out there would, you know, ha, he just saw a snake. You know why? Because you've learned to beware of snakes, right? And then Paul says the philosophy, the vain deceit, the traditions of men, the root of the world, as bad as that snake. And he said, beware of those. And you go, oh, cool. You do bad things? My mother won't let me do bad things. Can we go do some bad things? Dumb. Stupid. Loser. Clueless. Idiot. That's a no-win situation. Dodo head. You're going down. You may never come back up. But he has so much fun. They get to do this. His mother lets him get to do things you don't let me do. Can I spend the night? Mom. No! You got a bed. You got a house. You got a roof. We pay for this. Stay here. But everybody else gets to go spend the night with their friends. You don't know what they're doing over there. But I can guarantee you at some point in time during that episode, they're going to be doing something that you won't let them do at your house. And then what? You say, how'd you learn all this? Duh. Yeah, I mean, really. I've seen it, and unfortunately we did some of this. You know what? A fool never learns from his mistake. A wise man learns from his mistakes. A genius learns from the mistakes of others. Be a genius. Be a genius. Wise up. Kids, you've heard this. Now your parents are going to say, you can't go in there for the night. And he's going to smile and say, that's right. You just heard pastor say, no. You're not going. Not this summer. Not next summer. When you're paying your own bills, you're making your own way, and you're doing your own decisions, maybe then I'll think about it. Where do they pick up on this stuff? We're finished. From their friends. From the media. Any of it. Stay informed, but don't be deceived. Music. You know, one of the best things would happen when the Ephesians found out that their books and their crafts were like against God. They brought all their books and burned them one day. The Bible says that was 50,000 pieces of silver worth. If you're in here, you're a young person, you got the wrong kind of music on your iPod or your iPad or your iTouch or your iPhone or your iNot or your iYes or whatever it's called. You already know it. Why don't you just man up and woman up and go erase that stuff? Get rid of it. It's not doing you any good.
But I like it.
Well, it's too bad. You know, just because it's the hot item on Netflix doesn't mean it's the hot item before the throne of grace. You ever thought about inviting God to sit down with you on the sofa there and watch the same thing you watch? And if God's not going to like it, don't watch it. Be careful where you send your kids to school. And know, even when you send them to a good school, they're hearing things that are not consistent with the Bible, and you've got to be there to protect them and help them. Bibles teach these philosophies, vain deceits, traditions of men, and rudiments of the world, and so do churches. And I thank God that He's given us a good church. Yeah, good help. Thank you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight, the folks have been very... It's been a big day. They've gotten just lots of steak, but very needful. You know, Father, it's one thing to be a hearer of the word. It's another thing to be the doer. You know, I pray tonight, Father, I am just so against intimidating people to make a trip to the altar. I just don't even want to say anything about it half the time. But I know what you've done in my life, and I know what you've done in this message. Father, I pray that you work in the conscience and hearts of the people that are gathered here tonight. Give them a little liberty tonight, a little courage tonight to lay some things down, separate themselves from some things, and get some wisdom and strength and character in their lives now, where they decide they're going to side with you and against the philosophy, vain deceit, traditions of men, rudiments of the world to which they're exposed day in and day out. And Father, I don't know how you want to conduct this invitation in their lives personally, but the altar is open for them, Lord. Their seats are open for them. I pray that you will simply work in their lives and accomplish what you want to do for your glory and for Jesus' sake. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.